just to let the devil know that any attacks he does doesn't cause us to get quiet or take a step back, only causes us to rise up and go forward. I just figure if he's going to mess with you or mess with our country, we need to go after him saying, you're going to pay for that one. Amen. How do you make the devil pay? You're going to bring people out of the kingdom of darkness. We're going to see more people saved. Are you listening to me? I prophetically speak over this house that the next 6 months we'll see more people saved than we have ever seen in the history of the 60 years of Hope Church. I decree and declare over the next 6 months we'll see bigger miracles that cannot be denied. We'll see more people delivered, more people healed, more people saved, more people touched by the power of God. More people, not just physically healed, but there's a lot of people out there in their soul. They are all messed up, all busted and broken by the enemy. But the Spirit of the Lord is upon you because he's anointed you to heal the brokenhearted. We got to take the war to where it goes and where it belongs. You got to fight in the right battlefield. Woo, can you imagine? Demons messing with people for 40 or 50 years or 20 or 30 years and have them so busted and so messed up by what they have done to them in their life and the person not knowing what it's about. And so they feel like that they're worthless or not important or disgusted. I remember one of our members years ago, before she was a member, she's somebody I invited to church, and she began to tell me her story. And in her story, as a kid, her mom was a single mom, and she began to move back with her parents because she couldn't afford it. And she said when she was a little kid, her grandfather began to molest her. Listen, pedophiles are evil, but it's the evil that, you know, it's the devil doing it.
Right.
See, why would God allow that to happen? God gave her a good grandfather, but the devil jacked him up.
Yeah.
And as a grandma, she told me, she goes, I'm an atheist, and I've raised my children to be atheists. You don't have to get upset at atheists. Usually there's some reason they've been hurt somewhere.
Right.
Don't get mad at people that are mad at God. They just don't understand what's going on.
Right.
They just need to have a little clarity. That's how the devil operates in darkness.
Yes.
That's why the truth is called the light. You just got to turn the light on so they can see that it wasn't God doing it. And she, as a little kid, used to pray, God, don't let it happen again. And he would keep and habitually molested her from the age of like 12 all the way up to 17, 18. And she blamed God. Well, it wasn't God. It was the devil. But I remember the day when she came to church and when she gave her heart to the Lord. And she was in her 60s and she came to me and said, Pastor, for the first time, I don't feel dirty. See, the devil's evil, folks. This is not a game. Sunday is not just a scheduled event to look good and be good. We are in a war. But you're not the victim. Are you listening? Don't let yourself have the victim. Oh, I just want a little. Look, we don't want peace with the devil. We want peace with God. We're bringing in God's kingdom. Amen. Her whole life, she felt cheap and dirty and broken over something she never did that was done to her. That's how the world works. That's how the devil operates. He's not here to give you a good life. Though he'll tell you, oh, follow me and I'll make it really great. It might look great, but it doesn't end great.
Right.
Yes.
That's the truth.
John 10:10, he's only here to steal, kill, and destroy.
That's right.
But you know what? In one moment, it could have taken her decades of counseling, and I'm not against counseling, decades of counseling and not gotten too far.
Right.
A lot of therapy. Could have taken all kinds of, she could have taken drugs and alcohol and not changed anything, but only trying to numb the pain that was in the inside. But don't you realize that the God that we serve, the Jesus that we talk about, the Bible we read, the one we worship, he is all powerful and in one moment restored her on the inside. Not only saved her from her sins so she can go to heaven and know him, but was healed on the inside. See, that's what it's about. Seeing people, Acts 10:30, how God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good,
yeah.
Healing people.
Yeah.
For this reason, 1 John chapter 3, for this reason was the Son of Man manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil.
Amen.
The devil has got things set up in people's lives, and they live it, and they're trying to manage with it, and they're trying to just get by with it, and they're trying to organize it, and they're trying to label it, and they're trying to classify it, and they're trying to find other people with it, and they're trying to just see the best that they can get by with it. But they don't realize they don't have to have that.
Amen.
Because anything the Father has implanted into your life, he if you give him the right, he has the opportunity and ability to uproot it out of your life.
Yes.
So you're like, I don't know. I just struggle with this. You don't have to struggle with it.
Right.
Oh, I've dealt with this addiction. You don't have to deal with that addiction the rest of your life. Oh, this is just, my mind is so messed up. I've been dealing with oppression or depression all my life. You don't have to do that. That's the good news. That's the good news. Jesus is the good news. It's the gospel, which is the good news. The good news is that he came and died on the cross to pay for the price of sin and the consequences thereof, so that you can be free, so that you can be forgiven, so that you can go to heaven, so that you can miss hell, but so you can be healed, 1 Peter 2:24, so you can be delivered, so you can have his joy, so you can have his peace, so your mind can be restored. Are you listening to me? There's too many people out there that are living in sin, living broken, living not knowing him, and we walk by him every day, and our biggest concern is that the weather's not perfect, or our AC went out in our car, and you're missing the point. There's a bigger picture. You are assigned at this time. You have come to the kingdom for such a time. You might not be called the full-time ministry, but you're called a son and daughter of the Most High God. You are a minister. You are anointed of God. You have the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. Quit trying to imitate people. Well, I haven't got it all figured out. Nobody has. Welcome to the party, because the Bible tells us that we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the glory may be of God and not us, which means God can use anybody who's willing and available. And when you look back and say, God, I don't know how that happened, he'll say, I know you don't, because it was all me. It was all me. It was all me. It was all me and not you. You were just willing to trust me and obey me. Woo, help me, Jesus. We got to quit looking for the sensationalism of stuff and begin to get real. And in your work, in your neighborhood, in the gym, at a restaurant, just for you, look for the Holy Spirit to create an opportunity. Just be open. Just be open. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, the offensive weapon, Ephesians says, in the days of battle. David, one of the cool things about David was not only that he was a worshiper, not only was he victorious, but Goliath wasn't even his battle. You got to realize he wasn't called to fight Goliath because that was his responsibility. But it became an opportunity for him when the anointing on the inside, because he had already been anointed by the prophet Samuel to be king before the situation.
Right.
So here he is, too young for the battle, but already anointed.
Yes.
Not qualified to fight, but the only one that could. See, some of you are looking for somebody. I don't know who I'm speaking to. Somebody, you're looking for somebody else externally to validate you to do what God wants you to do. Oh, if I only had this, if somebody would only tell me this. You don't need, they might tell you you're not qualified, but your qualification's not based on what man says. Your qualification's based on what God says. Stand up and rise and shine, Isaiah 60, for your light has come and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Arise and shine. There's people dying every day. There's people that need to hear the gospel. There's people that need to know that he's real. There's people that need to know the comfort of the Holy Spirit. There's people that need to know the joy of the Lord. There's people that need to be touched and know that they're valuable, that they have great value, that God loves them. They need to know that where they've been and what they've done doesn't define them, that they behold all things are brand new in Christ Jesus. David might have looked unqualified to the soldiers, to the military, to the organization. I don't know what organization told you, you're not ready yet. But I feel if God gives you an opportunity, you have a voice, you're ready.
Yeah.
The moment you see an opportunity. And David said, is there not a cause? He said, I can take him. Not because of me, but because of God.
Yeah.
He was fighting battles that didn't belong to him, but where God could use him to make a difference.
Amen.
He was fighting a battle that did not belong to him, but he discovered that God could use him to make a difference.
Amen.
Wow, that's not my notes. I haven't got to my notes yet. We might not even go to notes, but that's okay today. He was fighting a battle that didn't belong to him. See, some of you wake up and go, oh, I sure hope no one messes with me today. I hope the devil just gives me a little peace. I like to have a little vacation from any. No, listen, you ought to wake up and say, the battle doesn't belong to me.
That's right.
but it's an opportunity where God could use me to make a difference. You might be inconvenienced. Oh, well. It might cost you to be a little late to some stuff. Oh, well. It might not be so simple as versus just going on a hiatus or vacation. Oh, well. But the Bible, Jesus said, anybody who lays down their life for me and the gospel's sake will find true life. That's the key to true life. But I don't want it to be the only motivation for you is that, ooh, there's a secret level of living, and there is. It's the Zoe, the God quality of life. But I'm here to tell you, and that's a benefit. But when you get the heartbeat, it's more about the heartbeat even than the benefits. Because in the season to get the benefits, you'll have seasons where you won't have the benefit. Don't you understand? Any of the promises of God, you inherit by faith. And if faith takes patience, through faith and patience, Hebrews 6:12, they inherit. And through the process of patience, you'll have seasons where you don't experience what you're expecting.
Right.
That's why it's a process of faith. Because if it happened immediately, then you would come up with some game and gimmick and wouldn't even have the character that God's building in you. When you give, it doesn't happen to be a harvest in the next moment. If you did, some of you would be finding a suggestion box and asking if we could at least do 20 offerings instead of one offering a day. Because, man, I drop in an offering, I go back to my seat, and the money's in my pocket. I go walk back down, put it in, walk back, money's in my pocket. It don't work that way. Why? Because God wants to build not only your ability to trust him, but also the generosity. So are you listening? So that you can handle what he's bringing into your life. So you don't do what you just, I'm going to try it. No, you follow God at the level of your faith, Romans 14. You let God show you at the level of your faith. You walk it out. But we got to live a life where it's not my battle, but it's an opportunity from God, for God to use me to make a difference. When we begin to live that way, think of the people that God will bring in there. I've had more things God use me outside of a service than inside of a service. I just decided many years ago that I am not going to be an average minister who will preach a great talk and do a great ministry and pray for a lot of people and expect a lot of big things to happen on service, and when I walk out, turn the switch and go back and act and live like everybody else.
Come on, Pastor.
Not interested in it. Yeah. Not interested in that game. It's got to be real. Not just on Sunday, but on Monday.
Yes.
Where you wake up, even if you feel bad, and your emotions are screaming, and someone's offended you, and your job's at risk, and that elbow's starting to act up a little bit, and you start saying, listen, I'm not going to allow those things to define who I am and what I'm doing today. God, if you want to use me, I know I'm healed of the Lord. I know I'm blessed of the Lord. I know I'm victorious. I know I'm the head and not the tail. And Lord, I want you to know, I've already spoken your word, and I have victory before I even see it. But I'm just not going to focus on me. I'm just not going to pray about me. I'm just not going to pray about me and my four no more. No, there's people that need to hear God. They need to hear God's word. You just need to be available and say, God, if you can use me, I'm available to you. If you can use me, I might not be the most well-spoken person. I might not have everything that other people have. I watch these people on TV think, well, I don't know if I could ever do it that level, but God, I'm here. If you want to use me, God's looking for people to wake up and say, Lord, this is the day you've made. If you want to use me, I'm available to encourage somebody, to give someone cold water if that's what it needs, and to tell somebody, to invite somebody, to preach the word, to encourage somebody, to pray with somebody, to bring somebody. It don't matter. You just be open to God. Quit trying to micromanage God. I hear that in my spirit. Quit trying to micromanage God. Quit trying to micromanage God. That's mean waking up and you telling God what he has to do for you today.
Come on.
Here's what I expect. I want this to happen. I want this to work that way. Listen, you're not big enough. Quit micromanaging. Wake up and say, God, I'm available for you. I'm available for you. Woo! What would happen if churches would begin to teach this to all their congregations, and people would stop thinking of a church as a good thing to do on Sundays and walk in to get your tank filled? And we want your tank full. Amen. It's cheaper than gas today. Hallelujah. But you know what? But you know what? The Word of God says that even in famine, God's people have plenty. You got to get the word on a situation. Instead of watching the news over and over and over and then repeating it over and over and over about, oh, do you know how much price of eggs are? Do you know how much inflation's going? Do you know the price of gas? Some of us, it's all we've been talking about is how expensive things are. You ought to just say, find that scripture. I'm not going to give you everything. I'm not here to spoon feed you. I'm not your mother, your mama bird, and you're not a little bird in a nest waiting for me to stuff, cram everything in your throat. I'm just going to give you enough for you to either question it or be angry with it and go challenge it on your own, because I want you to have the sword in your hand. And when everybody's saying, oh, it's so expensive, I don't know how we're going to make it, you ought to be saying, not, it doesn't affect me.
Right. Come on.
Doesn't affect me. Because the word of God says that even in a deep, strong famine, God's people have plenty. That means you're exempt from what the world is dealing with. You're exempt from the what the world's dealing with. You're exempt from what the world is dealing with. Don't you realize that even in Exodus, when God was bringing judgment on Pharaoh and his nation, we know all the plagues, and God was using Moses and Aaron. Do you realize that the children of people lived in Goshen? And the Bible says that in Goshen, they experienced none of the plagues.
Yes.
Ooh, can you imagine? A servant shows up to work and they're like, I need you to clean this. Man, this place is a mess. Oh, yeah, we've had flies everywhere. Why do you got so many flies? Don't you have flies in your house? No. I live in Goshen. I live in Goshen. I'm so thirsty. Well, why don't you get a drink of water? Everything's blood. All the water turned to blood. What do you mean all the water turned? When that happened? Don't you? Is it your water blood? No. I live in Goshen. I go back home every day and I enjoy what belongs from the Father. Come on, somebody. You might see it. 1,000 will fall at your side, the Bible says, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come to your dwelling. Only with your eyes will behold and see the reward of the wicked. What am I saying? You live in Goshen. That's an illustration. You live in covenant. You live in covenant. You say, well, it hasn't worked for me. It's because you didn't have faith, because you didn't have the word, because you didn't hear it.
Come on, Pastor.
If you don't hear it, you don't know it's there. If you don't know it's there, how do you have hope for it? If you don't have hope for it, you can't believe for it. If you can't believe for it, you don't have faith for it. If you don't have faith for it, you can't receive it.
That's right.
Aren't you glad you go to a church that we just speak the word into your life? Impart the word into your life. In part, because the word is the most powerful thing. The word is the most, I'm telling you, he has elevated, Psalms 119, he has elevated his word above his name. Heaven and earth will pass away before God's word will fail. That's what Jesus said. Isaiah 55, it will not return void. That word it's the most powerful thing. He created the universe by speaking the word. And when he decided to send his son, what did he send? The word. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John 1, verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst them. And it's just not the Word by information, it's a Word by revelation, by the Spirit of God. That's why Jesus was evident and present on the earth for years, but wasn't active in ministry until the Holy Spirit. Because you need just not only information that's present in your mind, you need the Word of God revealed to your heart. And when the Word of God gets revealed to your heart, it becomes not only alive to you, because it is spirit and life. The Bible says, I pray that the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace and believing. When they're saying, oh, it's horrible, you can have joy and peace. Not because they're going through a hard time, because you know, you don't operate the way the world operates. Peter says, you're a peculiar nation. That doesn't, or people, that doesn't mean you're weird. That means you're set apart. And what the world's going through, you don't have to go through. They might be afraid, but you don't have to live in fear. They might be struggling and dying, but you don't have to die. They might be, oh, how am I going to make the budget? But you don't have to. You use wisdom. Don't be foolish. But you don't have to operate the world the way the world works. We have to realize that we don't have to be motivated by the fear. We don't have to be motivated by hate. We don't have to be motivated by the tactics of the enemy. You are to be motivated. Don't you realize when Jesus was being tempted in the wilderness, that turning a rock into bread wasn't bad within itself?
Right.
It's getting quiet. But the two things that are a problem with it is, number one, was the motivation. The motivation was to try to prove himself to the devil. Because the question to all of the temptation started with, if you are the Son of God.
Right.
If you are the Son of God, turn that bread. It wasn't bread. The devil wasn't caring about Jesus if he was hungry. He was challenging the authenticity, the identity of who he was, and he was trying to get Jesus to be motivated by his stimulation, his direction, his focus, his drop of thought. Some of us, we think we're fighting. No, if we're not careful, we'll do stuff not by faith. We'll do it by fear. You know how I know it's fear? Not because you're afraid that the world's going to come to the end, but you are motivated by the wrong influence. Because the devil, if he can get Jesus to do something, down the road he can get Jesus to do something. And Jesus said, I haven't come to do my will, but the will of the Father. Which means he can't, he's not even going to make turn a stone into bread without the direction of heaven. He's not doing it because the devil, the enemy, told them to do it. We got to be careful who we listen to. Some of us are doing a lot of stuff that the enemy is trying to encourage us to do. And from the surface, we value everything by, oh, it doesn't seem too bad. And you're putting the tag, the name of Jesus on the end of your prayer. But your motivation and direction is coming not from heaven. It's coming from the world. It's coming from the devil. You got to quit doing what the world's doing, who's following demonic influence, and begin to say, God, you show me what to do. You show me, because I'm not in. We got to get out of the idea. It's a tactic of the enemy, because sin will devalue you. It's a tactic of the enemy to create such a low self-image that you'll now be easily prompted by the devil to do something to verify yourself.
Right.
Even David, before he went into the king's camp, his own brother said, what are you doing here? I know the naughtiness of your heart. Why aren't you with those few sheep of the Father? He degraded him. He diminished him. He devalued him.
Right.
And when David went into the tent of the king said, put on my armor. You got to understand, nobody else really had armor, and they didn't have swords. They're fighting a war with farmer's tools. But the king was always allowed to have a sword. So he put on armor of the king. So the King Saul put on David his armor, which means that when you get all that armor on, you look like a king. What a great way to validate yourself to your brothers, to walk out of the tent of the king looking like the king. Human tendency. We would all want to walk out of the tent and say, hey, brother, yeah, and my friends, and everybody he was making fun, you all laughed at me before. Remember that about 5 minutes ago? How do you like those apples?
Yeah.
Right? What do you think about me now? Look, I'm wearing the armor of the king. I look like a king. I can talk like a king. I can walk like a king. But the kingly anointing wasn't working on appearance. And he would have gone to battle and died. But he told the king, I can't wear what looks good.
Yes.
Oh, my God. It might make me look religious. It might make me sound spiritual. It might make people think I got it all together. It might make people think from the brand, it's all together. But I can't work on just branding. I got to look on reality. And I got to be who God's called me to be and begin to walk out and win the battles that God brings into your life. I know it's not your battle, but it's an opportunity. Will you let me use you to make a difference in somebody else's life? The armor of God.
Yes.
The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God.
Yes.
The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God.
Yes.
The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God.
Yes.
Take that sword.
Amen.
The Word of God is powerful, folks.
Yes.
Get it in your, not only your mind, but get it in your heart. Let it become alive. And then when you speak it, it's a command from heaven.
Yes.
And when you speak a command from heaven, it's not your command, it's heaven's command. So that means you're just doing your own thing. You're minding your own business.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, you get a prompting.
Yeah.
You notice an employee, and maybe they have a grimace of pain or they're crying, and it just doesn't catch your attention and moves your heart. And God says, reach out to them. Well, Lord, why? Well, I want you to pray for them. What if it doesn't work? It's not your job to make it work.
Come on.
It's His job. He sent His word and healed them. One translation says He sent His word and by it healed them. It's your job to release the word, to let the word do what it's supposed to do. It's your job to let the word do what it's supposed to do. It's like having an amazing, big, strong guard dog. All you got to do is unleash it from the chain. And it will do what it's been trained to do. You don't have to go fight them. You don't have to talk to them. All you got to do is let the dog go. The dog's already ready. He's trained. Right. He's salivating. His teeth are showing.
Right.
You hear the story about the robber. I've told this many times. I'm going to tell it again. The robber who breaks in late at night, and he's going through this apartment, and all of a sudden, as he's looking, he hears this voice that says, Jesus is going to get you. And he looks around, and he thinks he's crazy. This flashlight can't see anything. He keeps going. He just thought he heard something. A few minutes later, he hears, Jesus is going to get you. And he's like, what in the world? And finally, he brings the flashlight onto a cage where there's a parrot. And he sees the parrot say, Jesus is going to get you. And he said, you stupid bird, I ought to kill you, but I'm too busy with what I'm doing. And all of a sudden, as he's talking to that parrot, this big old 130-pound King Corso, we'll call it pit bull, whatever you want, comes coming down that aisle or hallway and stands in the doorway growling, ears up, fur, you know, just stands up a little bit, and teeth and salivating. And all of a sudden, the bird says, sick him, Jesus. Let me free you up, child of God. You don't have to do the impossible.
Right.
You don't have to do the miracle.
Right.
You don't have to do the saving.
Right.
You don't have to do, it's not you, it's him. All you got to do is release the word.
Yeah.
Release the word. You're walking around with the word on the inside of you.
Yeah.
You're walking around with the word in your mind and in your heart. But until you release it, it could be evident. But until it's activated by the Spirit of God and released from your mouth, death and life and the power of the tongue. And when you release it, you're allowing the word. You say, that doesn't make sense to me. I know it doesn't make sense to the natural mind. But that's why the Bible says that his ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Because the word is so powerful. You can speak to a fig tree. You can speak to the water. Mark 4, Jesus not only bound, he released. What am I telling you? It's not your job to do the impossible. It's your job to just let God get your attention. Lord, I'm going to make myself available. Use me, whatever you want to do. Don't try to make it. Don't try to force it. That's kind of a training we've been doing years for our Tagged by God wristbands. We encourage you to wear them. I need a new one because I gave mine out. And we tell people, don't try to give it away. Just say, God, use me wherever you want. And watch how the Holy Spirit will create moments for you to take it off. And you can tag them. You can pray with them. You can invite them to church. But it's an ongoing anytime you're available for God to use you to reach out to somebody that's not in your world. We have power with the word of God.
Amen.
And the world, people, it's easy to make it global. The world, society, people, neighbors, your family, your friends, people you don't know, that cross your path every day. Many of them are hurting, crying. But Pastor, if I can get my stuff done, then I'll work on other people and help people. You know what? You'll never get all your stuff done then.
Right.
You got to start reaching out and helping and praying, encouraging, feeding, and
Amen.
People, inviting people, even when your world's not 100% there.
Right.
But you're getting there by faith. Amen?
Amen.
Because we can't wait. We are in the last of the last days.
Yes.
Say, Lord, use me.
Lord,
if you believe that, lift up one hand. Say, Lord, use me.
Lord,
say, I'm available. Joel chapter 3, we'll end right here with this verse. Joel chapter 3, verse 16, and the Lord also shall roar out of Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem, and the heavens and the earth shall shake, but the Lord will be the hope of his people and the strength of the children of Israel. What God speaks, he expects.
Amen.
And when you let God put his word in your heart and you begin to speak it, begin to expect. It might not happen overnight. It didn't say lay hands on the sick and they'll recover immediately. And many times it can be immediately. But the fig tree withered up at the roots. That means that's the part you don't see, but something was happening. Know that when God's word goes forth, it will not have confidence in that word, that it will not return void.
Amen.
When you get to that level that you believe and you have confidence, watch out.
Yes.
Wherever you go, you are a threat to the enemy. Fighting battles that don't belong to you. But are opportunities that God can use you to make a difference in somebody else's life. Amen.
Amen.
If you believe that, give the Lord a biggest hand clap of praise for the next 30 seconds. Well, I guess I prepared my notes for no reason, but okay, that's all good. I think that's all good. Were you blessed with that today?
Yes.
Amen. If you'd be so kind and bow your head and close your eyes, if you're here today and do not have a real relationship with Jesus Christ, I'm not asking if you know about God. I'm not asking you to join a church, denomination, or religion. I'm asking you, is Jesus Christ real to you today in a way that only you know? Religion is man's rules to get to God. I'm into a real relationship with Jesus Christ. You can be forgiven. You can go to heaven. You can know him. You can experience that joy and peace. You can have that heavy, dark cloud over your life of condemnation removed. Don't live the way the world lives. Live in the joy. Live in the peace. Live in all that God has for you. It starts with a real relationship. If you don't have that real relationship, or if you allowed things to come between you and God and you're not right with God today, why don't you pray this prayer with me? Let it come from your heart. Say with me, Heavenly Father, I repent of all my sins. I turn to you today. I believe in my heart, and I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he came to this earth in the flesh, died on a cross for my sins, was buried for me, and on the third day rose again for me. Because I believe that, I ask you, Jesus, to come into my heart, wash me in your blood, forgive me, cleanse me, give me a fresh start. Say, Jesus, I don't want a religion. I want a real relationship with you. So I ask you right now for you to make yourself real to me today in a way that I know for myself that you're real and you're my Lord and Savior. I receive you today. Thank you for saving me. Amen. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Before we close with a blessing, let me encourage you, we'll have prayer partners following the service. If you need one-on-one prayer down here at the front, we'll have our food and grocery store open and our clothing store open. Isn't it amazing what God is doing? And I am so grateful for the hand of God on our lives and ministry. Also, let me encourage you, invite somebody. Will you do that? There are people that need to know the freedom that only heaven can bring. Freedom that only comes from Jesus Christ. And if we have the answer, don't hold it. I'm not saying you have to stop everybody. Just be open for God to use you for their benefit in the kingdom of God. And invite them to church. It's amazing. I saw you brought two different people last month, and both of them got saved. Now, the reason I say that, she sits on the front, and I would meet them in the back, because I'm trying to greet people as they're coming in sometimes, and she would come say, oh, Pastor, here's a friend of mine I'm bringing to church for the first time, and then I would see him sitting on the front row. Now, I don't know about you, but typically for guests, the front center row is the worst place for a guest to sit. The best seat in the house for someone who's new is always closest to the back. You know what I mean? That is what it is. And I'd be the same way. If I went into a large auditorium of people I didn't know what it was about, I'd sit close to the door so I can run. And each time she sits on the, and I sit, see him, and I'm thinking in my mind, OMG, they're in for the ride. But they both got saved, raised their hands and stood up for the Lord. Amen. Look to your neighbor and say, you can do that too. It's so important that we don't forget that we are living the last days and we need to reach out to people. Amen. We're a team around here. We're a team. And if you prayed that prayer, you don't have to stand, but let me just see your hand. Who was I praying with? If you prayed that salvation, thank you to my left. Anybody else? Over here, right? Over there, right? Anybody else? Five. God bless you. God bless you. We speak a blessing over your life. Are you ready for the blessing that comes out of number 6? God told Moses, have Aaron the high priest speak this over the people, and I will do it. There's power in the word of God as we speak it and impart it into our lives. So I speak this according to the word of God over your life. May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you his favor and give you his peace in the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone shouted, God bless you. We love you. Have a great week. You're dismissed. See you next week.